Blog Talk Radio.
We good girls. Oh yes, we good girls. We good girls. Always say the clean way. No nice drama. We just ride the buses. We talk that talk, so we love to walk it. So we walk it here first, yeah. We used to do it, that's how we love to do it. Head held, high shoulders back, and we get real into it. Cause we bout it, we walk around with no clothes on me. Yeah, I doubt it, kings ain't tryna check for me. Yeah, I doubt it, and I'm like, what the world they talking about? We turn all colors, all styles, yeah, that's why we're stepping out. We good girls, always stay the clean. We coming up, so don't try to fight it. Gotta watch up on my wrist, boy, I'm timing you. Got 5 minutes to learn my name, I'm not your boo. Alright, thumbs up, it was really nice to meet ya. Got things to do. Yeah, we roll up to the movies. Get out the car like we in the movies. Staring in the parking lot, no matter where we go, people fly. Asking us where y'all from, overseas, another country. No, the USA, born and raised all day. Yeah, we looking so clean. Got you thinking you look separate in a dream. But here's the thing, don't wanna call the scene. I got big life vision, arena at Wimbledon. What's that mean? That means I'm doing all the winning. And I'm on a righteous mission. Nobody can stop me. Just grab your camcorder, press record, and run and watch me. I was a film major. I can teach you things. I was university. 4 years had my brain, it wasn't same. We good girls, always stay the clean man. Don't like drama, we just rise above it. We talk that talk, so we love to walk it. We coming up, so don't try to fight it. Gotta watch up on my wrist, boy, I'm timing you. Got 5 minutes to learn my name, I'm not your boo. Alright, thumbs up, it was really nice to meet ya. Got things to do.
All right, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide, warner, and comforter in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet you all once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum, ma'am.
Alaykum, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Wow, we have a huge panel tonight, but we have a very exciting and intriguing topic. And so what we're going to do, we're going to move quickly and allow people to introduce themselves, but first and foremost, we're going to introduce our gracious and most beautiful host, my little sister Queen, from all the way from Tampa, Florida. This sister exemplifies a perfect example of what a young, growing, developing woman is supposed to be, and I just love her so much, so maybe I'm partial. So without further ado, of course, our host, little sister Queen Yatira X. Assalamu alaikum, ma'am.
Well, ladies, come on, Queen. Thank you so much. You know I love you so much. Don't get me most on this powerful show tonight, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. First and foremost, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah who appeared in the person of my Prophet Muhammad. I further bear witness that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the Exalted Christ, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine guide and reminder amongst us today. I want to greet our panelists, and our guest tonight, the Green Rangers. Peace of Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum
salam,
ma'am. Well, y'all know me, so like Queen said, we're going to move forward and have our guests introduce themselves so we can get right into this heavy hitter, the topic tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Well, why don't we start with a person who hasn't been with us before? I would like, if he doesn't mind, Brother Avery Muhammad. Can you come down front and center, soldier, and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you, because this is your first time on Nation Building Network, and we are so honored that you accepted the invitation, and we are so honored to have you. So give us a little background about you, sir, if you would.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Walaikum salam, sir. It has been an honor to be invited onto your show. I'm out of Atlanta, Georgia, of course. Little about myself, I'm considered to be an author and inspired to be a motivational speaker as well. Of course, with the Nation of Islam, under the leadership of Don Louis Farrakhan, as of present, 20 years of service and enduring more. Grateful to Allah to be a husband and a father, and I'm looking forward to the topic of the show, hoping to learn more, as well as to be a servant as well.
Yes, sir, and thank you so much, Brother Avery, for joining us tonight. Okay, so now we can just go around the table, and Sister Yatira, I'm going to help you out because I think I can move a little faster.
Yes.
Because I know these people very, very well. So come on down here, soldier from St. Louis, Missouri. Brother Kareem Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Walaikum salam,
sir. Yes, this is Brother Kareem Muhammad. I am honored to be the host of Conscious Black Nation on Monday nights at 8 p.m., member of Nation Building Movement, the Nation Building Family. I'm just here to serve. I was going to listen, but that's all right. I'm always ready to work.
Oh, I know you saw me flash your picture all over Facebook. You was on the show. I thought you knew. I'm sorry.
I was working, and when I got done working, I came in, and I said, let me at least tune in. But that's fine. Allah is God, and he ain't no fool. So, yes, ma'am, Allah, no problem.
Okay, and also we have with us all the way from Grand Rapids, Michigan, student minister Andre Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, beloved.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Queen Aziza, and also to Sister Yatira, and also to the rest of those that are on the panel tonight. Just want to express my humble and sincere gratitude to be a part of the Nation Building Movement, and also to be able to just have anything of value to say. Thank you for allowing me to be one of the panelists tonight, and inshallah we will delve right into this most powerful subject, and definitely is on time, and I'm just ready to get started. Thanks for allowing me to be a part of the panelists tonight.
Yes, sir. Okay, and also we have a brother who he's just an awesome speaker, and he has been such a tremendous help to me in such a very, very short time. He's proven to be a very dedicated brother, and I love him dearly. So come down here front and center, Brother Reginald, and present yourself. You need no introduction.
Oh, our praises be to Allah. Thank you, Sister Queen, for having me. Thank you, Sister Yatour, for having me as well. And it's also an honor and a pleasure to be on with the panelists that you have invited to be a part of this very important topic dealing with the women of our culture, the women of the Nation of Islam, and women in general. And I'm going to go ahead and start with my salutation in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad in North America to search and find the slaves of a once great nation. He is the great Mahdi, or described as in the Bible, the Son of Man, that was prophesied to come. I thank Almighty God, Allah, for choosing one of our own family, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Exalted Christ, and eternal messenger of Allah in the Nation of Islam. I further thank Allah for his most profound, faithful servant and masterful student of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that divine warner and guide is the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in all of their names that I greet everyone from the least to the more than the least with the greeting words of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum.
Beautiful, beautiful opening. And last but certainly not least, my little brother, aspiring author, and we're going to give him an opportunity later on to tell us about this series that he's writing. I wouldn't necessarily call it a book. I'm going to call it a TV series. We're going to claim it already. Brother Eric X, front and center soldier.
As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and who rose up from among us, one who has guided and taught all of us and changed the complexion of the United States with his word, the Exalted Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I bear witness that the man who brought me to the light, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is our divine messenger, our divine reminder, excuse me, in our midst, and my example. And I greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum salam, sir.
Okay, well, now I can turn it back over to you, Sophia Tira. You're going to start us off with a question.
Yes. Okay, well, we're going to dive right into it. Brother Andre, as-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam, ma'am.
Okay, I'm directing my first question to you on this powerful topic of the woman. 75% of the work is with the woman. What does that mean? What works, and what does that mean in general? 75% of the work is with the woman.
Thank you for that question, beloved. When you start talking about or dealing with a topic as powerful as the woman, then it is most proficient to start with what Allah did himself when he came and showed himself to us in the person. When Master Farad Muhammad came to North America, he came on different occasions, and after he did a certain work, he came to Black Bottom, Detroit, in the early part of the very early part of the 1930s. And he came two in the area considered non-productive. There were poor people there considered predominantly black, and the woman at this time was at home. She was not in the workforce as she is today. So when Master Farad Muhammad came, in the times that he came when the man was gone to work, or he was in the field working, and he would knock on the door, and the lady would answer, and he would address her as ma'am. He would always address her as sister. This was not common at that time because most people did not call the black woman sister at that time. And he would tell her that he was offering silk from her brothers in the East. Now, most people at that time, especially black people, didn't realize or understand that they had brothers from the East. So he would go on and continue and say, this is the way that your foreparents dressed before they were brought here as slaves. So he would tell them certain things about their history that would intrigue them to want to learn more. My point is, after he would get in and start teaching, he would inspire them to learn more about themselves. He put or instilled within the woman the ability to feel or have respect for herself at that time. When the Most Honorable Elijah Master Farad Muhammad left, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad picked up where he left off. Now, he didn't indulge us into a deep study of the Holy Quran or the Arabic language. The first thing he did was to restore the black woman.
Come on, brother.
He started to teach her things that were, I guess, at that time not common. When you put in the term 75% of the work is with the woman, compare it to the earth. The earth is 75% covered in water.
Come on.
Water is the resource that gives us life. 75% of our bodies is water.
Mm.
So with that, you have life. The woman is styled in the Holy Quran as Tilth in Surah chapter 2, verse 223. It doesn't say the woman, it says your wives are a tilth. Well, a tilth, the definition of a tilth is cultivation or refinement. The woman is the sole person who rears the child. When the child is in the womb, she's the one who nurtures it. She feeds it. She gives it its thoughts. This is why it's so important that the woman be very careful how she the environment that she's in when she's pregnant. She's the one who brings up the children. And most importantly, she is the one who assists God in building the character of the man, styled in the scriptures in the Bible as a helpmeet. Helpmeet. Not helpmate, but helpmeet. Well, what does she help him meet? She helps him to meet his potential.
Come on, bro.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that wherever there are no good women, there are no good men. In order for God to bring in a new world or a new government or a righteous world or a righteous government, then that means that the woman has to be righteous. So saying all of what I said, based upon what I said, is that the woman is 75% of the work because she is the one that will bring in the new civilization. She's the one who builds the character of civilization. She is the balance of civilization. Everything revolves around her because she is the mother of civilization. Without her, nothing else can survive. Basically, everything that exists is because of the black woman. So her value stands by itself. This is why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us to respect and protect her. Why? Because it is her. She's the mind. She's the civilization. She's the one that is the cultivator or the refinement of every civilization that you know of. Without her, nothing else can exist. So she's the tilt. She's the cultivation. She's the refinement. 75% of the work is with her because she's the one who has to build the civilization, not only for the children, but also the man. A man cannot be satisfied without a woman. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan also teaches us a man cannot call himself a man until he's married to a woman. So that's my question. That's my answer to that question, dear sister. I don't want to take up too much time. I want everybody else to be able to have, you know, to give the exegesis on that question as well. So I will hush and let somebody else go. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alonzo.
Thank you, brother.
Really, that was a powerful answer. I mean, it's deep. It was
beautiful, brother.
Thank you so much, Brother Andre.
Thank you. Thank you, sister.
Yes, sir. I appreciate this a lot. Moving up to my mighty brother, Kareem, the communicator. I'd like to say the same question for you. About 75% of the work is with a woman. What is the work? And can you explain, you know, in your interpretation of that, of the same?
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And, of course, let me begin properly in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due for us. And in the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Exalted Christ, and in the name of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan,
Wait a minute. Hold on, Brother Kareem. Okay, if anyone is using a speakerphone or if you have your computers on, please mute them because it's making the sound distorted. We're getting a lot of feedback. So either come off a speaker and mute your computers. Thank you so much.
That might be me, sister. I'm going to go ahead and mute this until it's my turn.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, that's better. No echo. All right.
Okay, go ahead, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And in response, I would like to say that I indeed agree with everything that my brother, Student Minister Andre, said, because it's all the truth. However, we must remember that we have negative and positive, because without negative and positive, there cannot be life. So we have to understand all of what we have been given. I would like to share this from the problem book. It's actually point number 2, in wherein we are told this. The wife of Mr. W.D. Farrad's uncle, in the wilderness of North America, weighs other than herself. Therefore, she has rheumatism, headaches, pain in all joints, and cannot walk up to the store. She is troubled frequently with high blood pressure and registers more than 32. Her pulse is nearly 80 times per minute, and she died at the age of 47. Then it asks the question, how many times did her pulse beat in 47 years? And before I go any further, we know that the pulse it's talking about here on the surface is talking about how you register one's heartbeat. But a pulse, also, if you look up the definition of it, a pulse is, or can also refer to, energy that goes forth. You have pulses of light. You got pulses of electricity. Radio waves travel in pulses. Brain waves travel in pulses. Then when you go into the original rules of instructions to the laborers, Master Farad Muhammad states, the MGT and GCC, I can sit on top of the world and tell everyone that the most beautiful nation is in the wilderness of North America, but do not let me catch any sister other than herself in regards to living the life and weighing properly. And then at the end of Lost Found Muslim lesson number one, point number 14, the question is asked, what is the meaning of MGT and GCC? The answer is Muslim Girls Training and General Civilizations class. This was the name given to the training of women and girls in North America, how to keep house, how to rear their children, how to take care of their husbands, sew, cook, and in general, how to act at home and abroad. These training units were named by our prophet and leader of Islam, W.D. Farad. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the book Message to the Black Man has two sections which are devoted exclusively, quote unquote, to the black woman. And one is entitled The Black Woman. The other one is entitled Respect and Protect Your Women or Your Woman. And I say that to say this, that, like I say, I agree with my brother Andre. However, let's look at the facts. When an enemy wants to destroy you, particularly a weak and sick enemy, he will not attack you outright. He's not going to come at you face to face. He's going to come at you, and notice my language, at the point of what's considered your weakest link. He's going to come at you knowing the value of woman, period. Our enemy literally has taken this queen, this goddess, this second self of God, and turned her 180 degrees in the opposite direction. Anyone who's familiar with the Willie Lynch letter, as it's called, whether a person believes that Willie Lynch existed or not, we know that Willie Lynch existed because we have the evidence in how we as a people deal with one another, and in particular, how we as men and women, or males and females, I should say, how we deal with one another or refuse to deal with one another. We got that evidence is that. So Willie Lynch is alive and well. But one of the things he said was this. He talked about division. And he said this. He said to divide us along all lines, the lighter against the darker, the taller against the shorter, the younger against the older. But he said, you had to pay particular attention to dividing the man and the woman, because as long as you could keep the man, the black man and the black woman against one another, at each other's throats, having enmity and being enemies toward one another, then there was no concern in us rising or becoming a threat to them, because we never could, because we are a unit. Yes. Yes. I cannot call myself a complete man until I have my other half with me in harmony, moving forward in Islam. However, the reverse is the same. See, I mean, it is a wonderful thing to look at the beautiful aspects of things. It's a wonderful thing to talk about how great and how valuable the black woman is. However, we also have to look at the fact that even with this information and having had the teachings over 80 years and now the minister having rebuilt the work and been at this, look at the progress or the lack thereof. What's the problem? 75% of the work is with the woman because she is so valuable, but also 75% of the work is with the woman because in that value, the enemy has literally turned our ally against us, and I'll say it, yes, even in the ranks of the conscious. And so I'm not going to go any further into that, and that's my answer. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, sir, thank you so much for your answer. Brother Kareem, the communicator. Brother Eric, same question for you. 75% of the work is with the woman. What is the work in your explanation of that quote?
Well, first of all, I'd like to apologize for the echo earlier. And this is a wonderful topic. And I believe all the brothers have answered it very eloquently and factually. I'm going to come at it from another angle. The work itself is the upliftment and the uplifting of the black aboriginal people of this world. That is the work. 75% of that work is focused on the woman, I believe, and what I see, is because if you look in nature, okay, look at birds, for example. The male has to impress the woman, the female. This is the natural balance of things. In order for him to draw her to his nest, he has to properly build his nest and then dance for her and woo her and get her to come into his nest before, as the brother said earlier, he can be considered a man or a male or a father. You do not reach your role as a man until you can attract that woman. I believe that in this world we live in, especially the Aboriginal people of the United States, the descendants of slaves, my friends and people who are around, most of what these young men out here who are selling drugs and buying these nice cars and shooting at each other, most of the things that they're doing is to impress the woman, because those are the things that have been imprinted on her mind that impress her. Shorty wanna thug, you know what I mean? So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to emulate it to try to woo that woman. 75% of the work is on that woman, because if you raise her standards of what a man is supposed to be, if you make her desire, if you can teach her to desire a righteous man and to be righteous herself in her actions and her demeanor, then in order for a man to woo her into that nest, he has to be righteous. Changing the woman will automatically change the men, because they'll be sitting alone. If the woman is righteous and you out there selling drugs and shooting at your brothers, you're an unrighteous brother, and all she wants is a righteous man, then you get no play. You get nothing. You raise her standard, then you raise the standard of a nation. You change everything, because the only way to complete yourself as a man is to be righteous enough to attract that righteous woman. Also, as the brother said, earlier, the woman is the first teacher, nurse, guide, and the god of the child. Children look up to their mother, emulate their mother, imitate their mother, and revere their mother. Nothing comes in the way or in between that bond. If you have a strong, loving mother, those children will cling to her. Aww. The same way we are supposed to cling to Allah. So that child looks up to her as the god of his life, his or her life. So I believe that the focus, 75% of it, was and is on the woman, because as you raise her standard, you raise the level of expectation of every man who seeks to be with that woman. So that is my answer.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for that, Brother Eric. It was a beautiful response. Brother Avery, I'm going to ask you the same question on 75% of the work is with a woman. What is the work in your interpretation of the quote? Brother Avery, still on, please?
I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Our first blessed witness, there is no God but Allah who appeared to us in the person of Master Far Muhammad. Thank him for coming and raising one in our midst, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we thank them both for leaving in our midst their love and extended mercy. Divine reminder, our warner, our big brother and champion for truth, and that's done in the honorable Louis Farrakhan. I greet you all with the panelists and listeners of the radio show, the Reading Words of Peace. Once again, advice from Alaikum. For all the responses that I've just heard, like my brother earlier, I'm in full agreement with it all, because it is all from the truth, from that one mighty God that gave it to the one that is so profound with the wisdom that we yet have to unearth all the wisdom that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad afforded us in these teachings. I keep going back to message to the black man, and I think my brother had mentioned it earlier, exclusive chapter, I think it's page 59, and it says to protect and elevate the woman. And that's in 75% of the work with the woman and protection and elevating the woman. That work entails 75% of what we are trying to do in resurrection of our people, or this nation. And in so doing, that 75% of the work is to bring forth the kingdom of God. However, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke of, in this to the black man, the protection. He kept elaborating on the protection of the woman. And before we begin to even benefit from the wisdom that Almighty God, Allah, hid in the woman, we first, and as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad mentioned, we must protect the woman and knowing her value, you know, and we can't have begin to even get the sense or even begin to get the benefit of what the woman and what God had put in her for us to benefit from without first realizing that she must be protected. And as brother had mentioned earlier in reference to the negative, and that's the default, I would assume, and the duty of us not doing as we should in regards to that work, 75%, which is weighty, you know, and we don't want to get it construed in a way where it's just exclusively something for the woman to do, but just the elevation and protection of the woman alone is 75% of what we're putting in into our work ethic. Whether we want to refer to it as our propagation of our faith, our devotion into what we study of Islam. And again, brother had mentioned and he quoted what Master Muhammad stated in our lessons, where he said he won't be able to sit on top of the world and declare that the most beautiful nation is here in the wilderness of North America. Well, that will occur when we become to understand and appreciate the value of what the woman is for in reference to the reprocreation of what Allah intends for the new kingdom to come in, because it's a world that we desire to see go out. But what type of world we desire to see come in? And that same desire to see a world come in, it has a vessel that it must come through. And Allah chose that vessel to be the woman. So there's a whole lot of aspects of the 75% that entails with that associated with the woman. I heard the seven units that was quoted out of the lesson. That's the beginning. of what we want to build for as a nation. And then we can take it just from another aspect of woman and meaning the nation in itself. The nation is as a woman to us. That's what we choose to produce from. We want to produce a world that we can all enjoy peace and harmony, freedom and justice, equality. And
that's right.
Is a great deal of work on the aspect of us, not just the woman, being that she's the barrier of the 75%, but it won't even begin to initiate on the 75% of the work unless the protection and the elevation of the woman is there. So I just like to keep digging and indulging in that in reference to the message to the black man with Don Elijah Muhammad and seeing a specific on the value of the black woman and how we as men should protect our women and elevate our women. And not just solely the women, but then there's a duty upon the women on knowing how to protect themselves and elevate themselves from decadent state to a more moral standard. And then it goes in with the surah of the Holy Quran when it speaks of the treatment of women. And this is, again, another thing that whereas we, as every child comes in the world, we always had expectations of mama. You know, mama the nurse, mother the teacher, mother the one that provides the food, mother provides the clothing. It's always expectations of a mother. So in turn, there is a specific way that a woman should be treated so we can reap the benefits. I've also heard from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad say that the black man has no heaven. His only heaven is the black woman. And this is very deep. Because now we are given a whole different concept of what heaven is and where heaven lies, coming from where they've been taught from a spook heaven and taught from a heaven that somewhere that you got to only achieve when you're dead and gone. But Don Elijah Muhammad says that heaven lies at the foot of the black woman. So here is again where we have to revisit what is 75% entails in reference to the work with the woman. And again, beginning with the protection and elevation of the woman, that I think is inclusive of the 75% with her. And then we can begin to maybe benefit the rewards from what Allah had put in the woman, but we can benefit as men and benefit as a nation, and also be able to see the new kingdom come in through the vessel of a woman. And I leave with that point. I should make them.
Well, thanks a lot, sir. Thank you so much. Beautiful, beautiful responses from everyone. And Brother Reginald, same question for you. What
okay.
is the work, and what is the quote, 75% of the work is with the woman? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the question, sister. And it's really not a whole lot I can add because the brothers did an excellent job of laying the foundation and building up to the reason and the reason of the work being 75% towards the woman. But I'm just going to try and go ahead and go in detail a little more and to, you know, bounce off of what the brothers had already said. And I'm going to start with the chapter 33 and the message to the black man. And I'm going to start with the first paragraph where Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, Allah himself has said that we cannot return to our land until we have a thorough knowledge of our own selves. This first step is the control and protection of our own women. There is no nation on earth that has less respect for and little control of their women as we so-called Negroes here in America. Even animals and beasts, the fowls of the air, have more love and respect for their females than have the so-called Negroes of America. Our women are allowed to walk or ride the streets all night long with any strange men they desire. They are allowed to frequent any tavern or dance hall that they like whenever they like. They are allowed to fill our homes with children other than their own children that are often fathered by the very devil himself. Then when the devil man decides to marry her, the so-called Negroes press and magazines will make it front page news. The daily press will not print a so-called Negro marrying into their race, but you seem to think it is an honor to your own nation when your daughter goes over to the enemies, the devils. And that's the divine value of a woman is so important that we understand that, because she is responsible clearly for everything in creation. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said that the woman is a co-creator with Almighty God Allah, which means she is responsible for every type of nationality on the earth. It all came through her womb. The woman, the 75% of the work, lets us know that the woman is, God uses the woman as his workshop to bring people into existence. She's responsible for the brown. She's responsible for the yellow. She's responsible for the black. She's responsible for even the Caucasian. See, God has ordained her to further his civilization and his divine plan. And we can prove how much her net worth is by just some of the key figures that has been brought onto our planet. Key figures such as Moses, the savior for the children of Israel, Abraham, God's friend, Solomon, the wise man, Noah, Job, David, Jesse, Elijah, Mary, John, Jesus, and other divine leaders, teachers, and guides, including our own, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, Bob Marley, W.E. DuBois, Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks, Mary McLeod Bethune, Frederick Douglass, Nelson Mandela, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Barack Obama, and even, yes, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So this woman has produced everything of greatness to back up the work of the 75% going to her. And this is just a few of the things that have come through the woman to prove that she is worth putting in 75% of the work. She is also responsible for Mars, Venus, Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, and many other planets. She is the most beautiful and precious entity that God has ever made. She has been downgraded. She has been degenerated. She has been exploited by this modern world, this society, mainly by the entertainment industry. If we look at the entertainment industry now, our women are always being exploited. They're being exploited by the lack of clothes thereof. They're being exploited by the name calling thereof. They're being exploited because the men have made them degenerate, and they have made them degenerate because they don't understand that the key message that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, that every no good woman was made no good by a no good man, and a nation could never rise higher than its woman. So until we learn to protect and elevate our woman above anything in creation, we will not be able to rise into the entering of the kingdom, because the woman is the primary purpose and the primary engine of ushering in the kingdom of God. So we also must understand that we have to understand that she is the intermediary between civilization and God. Without that intermediary, then we would be lost. It would be no us. So in my humble opinion, although we do give Jesus his accolades, we forget that Mary was the one that was faithful and virtuous and true and to the word of Almighty God Allah when he told her that she was going to produce this child. So we need to start, in my humble opinion, we need to start pushing our women up more than we do and giving them more roles so that they can also exercise their divine character, their divine skills, their divine talents, so that we can learn and we can incorporate in our minds naturally that no matter what We're not going to let this Caucasian continue to exploit our women. And we have to, as Muslims, as believers, as students of the Honorable Elijah, Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we have to continue to uplift our women, even the women that are out there lost right now. We have to continue to uplift them, not degrade them, because like the brother said, the Willie Lynch syndrome is alive and well, and it was set up to last for 300 years, and that anniversary was last year. Well, the Caucasian plans ahead at least 100 years in advance of what he's going to do to us to make sure he depopulates us. So the woman, he already has a plan for her, and he has had it in effect. It's called eugenics, with, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad also wrote in the message to the black man, it's called the birth control method. And now they are, it has been included in Obamacare, and Israel also, now they're going to go ahead and start paying for abortions. You know, Revelation speaks of women will be leaving their sufferings, and women will be doing this to their child and whatnot. But that's because the Caucasian has put in our psyche that we're nothing at all. Our women are nothing at all. But until we come into the knowledge and the wisdom that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given us on the woman, then we will fail as a nation. And once again, I will end on this note. The Bible mentions at least 17 virtuous women that we don't even talk about. But we should begin to go and study these virtuous women and learn from these virtuous women and see their effect on the society at during their time, and how they were so reverent that people respected them, and they were carrying on the weight of the nation on their shoulder. So in conclusion, I would just like to say that and repeat that no nation, as taught to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through the Most Honorable Louis Farrakhan, can rise higher than its woman. So that would be my answer, and assalamu alaikum.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, sir, thank you so much for your response as well.
Teach.
Yes. And before I go move on to the next question, again, I just want to remind listening audience that you can just press 1 if you have any questions or you want to make any comments. And Sister Queen, do you want to add anything to the question?
Oh, no, ma'am. I dare not come behind all that knowledge and power. I think enough has been said. Even though I'm a woman, I have nothing else to say. I think they've said it all. So you can just come up with another question. We do have some questions in the chat room, but let's hear a little more from our panel, and then we'll start taking questions.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Please pull off. And moving forward, it sounds like, you know, from what everyone has said, it's important for women to know herself, to value herself, just as well as it is for the man to. But where does it? Who comes first? Who should know, you know, the value of the woman in order for us to progress and move forward? Should she value her? Should she know her true self first, or will the black man knowing her value help her to see her value? You know, if that makes sense. I'm going to ask you first, Brother Kareem. But, you know, which comes first, the woman knowing herself, or does him valuing and appreciating her help her to want to take the time to learn herself?
Now I want to be clear in what you're asking me. You're saying what's more important, is it for the man to value her or for her to value herself?
Right.
Well, automatically, first and foremost, our connection with Almighty God Allah is the most important. So in my view, it is most important that the woman know her own value. You know, she understand how powerful she is in submission to the will of Allah. I mean, we can see the power, quote unquote, of the female when she's not in submission to the will of Allah. So as we are, as my brothers have said, as we are building, we're working to build a new civilization, a civilization based on righteousness, as it says in the scripture, in the Bible. The disciples came to Jesus, and they were asking Jesus about the kingdom of heaven and, you know, how was they going to get there and where was it at? He said, well, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And honestly, it's very important, yes, for the man to see the value in the woman. However, it is much easier for the man to see the value in the woman when she knows the value of herself, when she lives that and expresses that. You know, and I mean, honestly, that would be my answer. I mean, to me, it is much, much more important for her to see her own value, because conversely, once she knows her own value, then number one, she's only going to attract to her those who can see the value in her. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Brother Eric, same question. Is it more important for the woman to know herself and value herself moving forward, or for the brother, for the men to know her value first?
Thank you, Sister Yatira. I believe Brother Kareem answered that question very well. I believe also that it is far more important that the woman know her value, because if the woman knows her value, then she will demand
that
her man knows her value. Her connection to Allah and her virtue and understanding her value automatically instigates in a man who wishes to or approach that woman to know her value. If she knows her value, she doesn't settle for anyone that doesn't know her value. If she knows her value, she will teach her daughters to know their value and raise sons who understand and respect her value. So in a nutshell, yes, I believe that the woman has to know her value. That is more important. It is important, however, that we as men know her value, so that we can uplift her and teach the women in our lives who don't know their value, and get them to understand and to not settle for anything less in life, whether that be at work, with her job, whether that be at home with her family, whether that be in the mosque, in the church, synagogue, wherever that woman may be. If she has a standard for and of herself and strives to live up to that standard and not settle for anything beneath that standard, then as men, we have no choice but to rise to that standard in order to procreate the human race. She is the standard bearer for our nation, which is why in the Nation of Islam, you see such beautiful sisters with very high standards, who respect themselves, who cover themselves, and in turn, the brothers who are in the nation, who wish to protect and bond with that woman, become beautiful. They transform. They go through a metamorphosis from the, it reminds me of the picture that's often posted on Facebook of the man sitting on the bench and Elijah Muhammad, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, raises him up and step by step he raises up until he is upright. Now, I'm not talking about upright as in, you know, having back problems, but upright in the eyes of Allah, upright in your own eyes. I can't express enough my appreciation and the joy that I feel when I think back on my own metamorphosis and how proud I am that I am upright, that I'm by no means am I finished in my metamorphosis. I have a long way to go. But, you know, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. So the standard bearer for our nation and for men in general is the woman. And if she has a standard of herself and of her sisters and of her daughters and of her mothers that she is of the utmost value, then she won't settle for less. And she will demand of us as men to be righteous, upright, and reflecting Allah in our walk, in our presence. A woman who falls in love with Allah will not settle for a man who is not also in love with Allah, who does not represent the masculine representation of Allah. So I don't want to make it seem like it's not important for us to, as men, to recognize her value. But it is far more important, in my humble opinion, that the woman recognize herself and understand her value, because everything springs from that. Everybody raises up themselves to meet her standards.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for that, Brother Eric. Beautiful response so far, as always. Brother Avery, same question for you. What is more important, and who understands the value of the woman, herself first, or the man?
Yes, ma'am. It's important that the man knows the value, of course, because he's charged with the responsibility for protection. And if I can give a little visual or an example for the man, because I'm addressing men now, that if you had a vault of gold, I can imagine the response of just us being enthused to protect a vault of gold. But if you had a vault of pennies, a dime, you'd be less enthused in protecting that vault, because you know the value of the vault that has gold. The enthusiasm to protect that would be more serious opposed to the vote that has the less amount. So in the regards of a man knowing the value of a woman, and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad speaking the message to the black man, to men, knowing the value of your woman as you would know the value of your crop, as you would know the value of your cotton, wouldn't you protect that crop from the enemy? So in the same regard, he was sparking in the consciousness of black men and next to the black man. What about your woman? And knowing the value of her, wouldn't you take that same measure of protection and protecting her from the enemy? Now, to follow up on more with your question and elaborate, yes, it's more important than that the woman knows her value. And reason why I put more emphasis on that is more important that she knows her value is because let's look at the statistics right now as we speak. With the alarming incarcerating rate with men, black men in the community, and you have an alarming rate of women, single sisters out there, most of them are single parenting in their home, which makes the woman more vulnerable in a world that is designed and is controlled by the enemy. And our women are at prey because of the alarming incarceration rate of black men and the alarming rate of homicide against the black man and the violence that we encounter in our community. That's leaving more and more women vulnerable and unprotected. But in that, Allah encompassed all of that in his coming. But and when we begin to rear our children, we hope, and I hope we are rearing our girls, teaching them their value. So as they go out into this world, and we don't want to say it that way, but they do go out in the world as prey in an enemy's world. They have to have a sense of value and have to know their value so they won't be lured into the clutches of the enemy. Or as brother said, that they won't settle or they will have some measure of standard for themselves or they won't give themselves cheap. And all this has to be taken into consideration. So it's more important than the sisters to know their value. Because in giving yourself, you want to know that you're giving yourself in the way that Allah chooses for you to be given. And we know that by the way you dress. If you value yourself or you know your value, you will go out with yourself clothed properly. If you know there's some value to yourself, you will carry yourself in a manner that you can tell that there was some training and you have some etiquette in your training. You will know by the way you carry yourself from a moral standard. You will know by virtue. This is how you know that a woman knows her value. And then we always heard the saying, when you teach a man, you teach an individual. But when you teach a woman, you teach a nation. So that's an indication there that there's an extreme value that is attached with the female. And the Holy Quran saying the female is not like the male. Making a distinction there. Not to say in it from a sexist standpoint, but to, again, spark the consciousness in the mind of a man as well as in the women that there is an extreme importance in knowing your value. Because, one, I heard earlier, as a brother had mentioned on the panel, is saying that we are taught that the woman is the co-creator of God. Well, what is the value of a co-creator of God? And when we begin to look at the woman as such and to know her value as such, then we would take the vanguard position as men in our community. Our women would take the vanguard position in the homes and rearing their children or even going out and conducting herself abroad as she do at home and knowing her value. And that is how a nation is be. That's how we elevate a nation. And that's how we begin to measure our standards and quote-unquote to the standard of what God has ordained for a people, or God has ordained for a relationship, male, female, or God has ordained for a woman as a mother, as a wife, and that she has ordained for the kingdom in itself, just by knowing the value. And that's important. And it's interesting how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad mentioned how we couldn't return to our land unless we have a thorough knowledge of self. And you can't have a sense of value of yourself without a knowledge of self. So, yes, ma'am, just to cut it short, it's most important, foremost important, that the woman knows her value. And it's just as equally as important the man knows the value as well, because how could he protect that which he knows not the value of? And how could the sister demand the respect for herself? And how could she know what standard to hold herself to if she not knows her value? So, yes, ma'am, I agree with all the other panelists and what they're saying in regards to the question as well. And I'm in full agreement with what Honorable Elijah Muhammad gives us in his text in reference to the protection and elevation of the woman. And the only way we can do that in protecting and elevating her is knowing her value. And again, with the sisters, it's more important that she knows her value as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for the for your response. So, Reginald, move right along with you.
Okay. Yes. Man, these brothers on this panel are so I'm going last, so it's hard to follow up after all the exactness and truth that they're speaking. But I'm just going to try to keep mine as short as I can, and I'm going to revert back to what the prophet said, peace be upon him. And, you know, the attitude of Islam is better understood if we realize the hardships and sufferings that mothers and women experience in their lives. And one man came to the prophet, peace be upon him, and asked, who amongst his near one had the greatest right over him? So the prophet replied, your mother. The man then asked, who after that? To which the prophet replied again, your mother. Asked, who is next? The prophet again replied, your mother. And then when the man asked him again after that, the prophet finally said, your father. So it's important not only for the man to know the woman's worth, but it is extremely important for the woman to know her worth and where she fits into the equation with her creator. Because animals, everything clings to its mother. Like the brother said earlier, the woman is the nurturer. She's the first god of the baby. She, you know, until the baby realizes the god, she's even... Now that we have this great gap of men being in the home of women, she's mother and father. So she has a specific role to play in raising and rearing the children in a way so that we can begin to develop these great communities again, so that we can begin to start having children that respect women, to have children that want use women the way that they see women being exploited on TV. So the woman has to know her net worth, because it's a standard that she has to set, an example that she has to set for her younger daughter, her nieces, her aunties, anything dealing with the female. She has to set the standard, because if she don't, then we cannot rise as a nation. And it was well put, the brother said, when you teach a man, you teach an individual. But when you teach a woman, you teach a whole nation, a whole community. So what we need to do is begin to go ahead as men. Our role in this is to keep elevating her, not to destroy her, not to bring her down, to keep elevating her. Let her know just how important it is. I remember my father when I was young, when he was getting ready to divorce my mom, and he was about to leave the house. So, you know, I love my dad, you know. And I said, and he said, oh, don't worry about me leaving. He said, one thing you do, and I'm going to teach you this, and I don't want you to ever forget this. He said, always respect, honor, and obey your mama, because if you don't, you're going to have problems, because your mother will be there for you when nobody else is there for you. And that has been a fact in my life. My dad may not have been there for me through all my trials and tribulations, but my mom has been there, is still there, and will be there, because that's the role of a mother, and that will be the role that we need to train our younger females to realize their net worth. I have two daughters, so this is an extremely important topic for me to be learning from the brothers as they teach on the value and the importance that a woman needs to know her self-worth, because I want my daughter to come up to understand that way she won't fall or settle for less, because the woman doesn't deserve less. The woman is the diamond in the rough. She goes through the same exact process that beautiful diamond at the end goes through. She goes through pressure and heat and all types of danger, and she's used, she's treated as booty. She just goes through everything, but through all of that pressure, through all of that pain, through all of that hardship, when it all comes out and she knows her self-worth, she is the most beautiful, beautiful entity to realize. And I must say this, that when I went to Mosque Maryam, that was the second mosque I had went to, but when I went, it was a multitude of MGT in there, and I was like, this is what heaven looks like. This is what the kingdom of God is going to be like. This is an example of paradise. And I was proud to be there.
Come on, brother.
And I got a whole nother respect for the woman, because I said, this is what I see on TV displayed in the stories, the biblical stories. They be covered up, even though they don't show us as the right color. They portray it as a Caucasian woman, but we know that we are black women. I mean, they are black women in these stories. And when you go to the mosque, when you look at the MGT, who's under the leadership and guidance of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad through the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you see a standard, and that standard is not something that the MGT even have to brag about. Because I remember one day the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us that while Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was teaching, he called two sisters out to come forward. He said he called one sister out that wasn't covered, and he called another sister out that was an MGT. He said, now which one of these do you think is more pleasing to Allah? And then he explained it. He went deeper into the wisdom of why women should cover up. And the brothers, they expounded on that earlier. But that's just to say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, 75% of his work with women is so beautiful, because that 75% is also used to when he tells us that 75% of the Bible is prophecy. So you all are prophets. So you are going to be the heirs to usher in the kingdom. And we need you to know your self-worth. That way we can have it easier on our shoulder to uplift you. You'll make it easier for us to protect the whole community, because you know yourself. We don't have to worry about you as much, because you can protect yourself, but knowing that you always got the super protection of your brothers, of your fathers, of the men who know their net worth and understand your net worth. As-salamu alaykum.
Wow, thank you,
sir.
Loving these answers.
Ooh, wee!
Thank you,
Allah. Can I expound on that right quick? I have something that I just want to throw in really quick. I just want to expound on something that the brother said about covering up.
Okay.
To all my beautiful sisters who, you know, were a part of this Covered Girl for Life promotion, the next time someone approaches you and asks you why you are covered, I want you to pose this question to them. Why do you not question Catholic nuns for covering themselves? Why is that not in question and called masculism and chauvinism when they cover themselves? And then ask them, why do those women cover themselves? because they are women of God. They have devoted themselves to that. And it is not for everybody to see them, and it is disrespectful. So, you know, shut them down instantly with a return question. Why do Catholics not receive the same inquisition for covering their holy women? And that's all I wanted to add to that.
Yes, sir. You.
And yes, sir.
Brother Andre, you are the last but not least for this question on who is it most important to know the value of woman, she or he?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. I was I had fell offline a few minutes ago, but all praise is due to Allah, back on now. Really, I can't add anything to what has already been said. Basically, everyone has covered the basics and also everything else that needs to be covered. But I will add this. Brother Reggie has stole the answer that I wanted come back with the prophet. But that's okay. You know, I always try to keep an alternate answer in behind anyway. You know, when you're dealing with the value of women, you're living in a world now where we all live in a society that does not value the woman. And it has been conditioned, her mind has been conditioned that her value only lies within how sexy she is. You know, you see this and you observe it on television, you see it in magazines, and you see it on an everyday level. Women wearing, the younger women wearing tight dresses and dresses that show their buttocks and the form of their body. This is what they value. But sexiness, you know, it is only visually appealing. And that's it. It can't buy me food to put on my table. It can't help me pay my bills. Or it can't help pay off student loans or help you qualify for a mortgage. I think I've already said this at one time, but I think it's relevant for right now. But sexiness won't help me raise my children or our children, nor will it teach my daughter her true worth and value. These things are very important when you deal with the value of a woman, because if she only thinks that she's sexy, then she really hasn't, she's not bringing anything to the table. I mean, if that's all the sisters have to bring to the table, is that the totality of their package? Is that all they think of themselves? You know, when you look at that, this is the society that we live in, or that has conditioned the minds of our women to think that way. You know, most black men want useful women, women who know how to cook, women who can sew, women who know how to raise their children, women who know how to hold they want to hold a real conversation. Now, mind you, Love and Hip Hop Bad Girl, none of that stuff that does not fall in the category of having a real conversation. And I don't want to sound like I'm just jumping on the sisters or anything, but men, the same thing. It's not based upon how sexy or how fine you are. Not based upon that. These things have gotten us away from the focus of what we really need to be paying attention to. Do you have a real relationship with God? Do you believe in God, or do you follow a spook? These are just things that have been conditioned for us as a people to believe in and think that that's valuable or worthy, and that's not. So I would say that, yes, it's more important for the woman to know her value, because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that if all the women come out of the club, the men are going to follow. Because if the women are not in the club, the men don't have anything to go in there for. If she really understands her value, they would come out of those places and realize who and what they stand for. The woman has a very profound pull and control over a man, if you don't know what I mean, men, and I know the men on here understand exactly what I mean. I don't really have to go in detail because we all know as men what exactly that does mean. Each one of the women in our lives has a certain pool of control over us. And that's just not something that we can change. So, and I'm going to give another exegesis, too, based upon the animals. I used to be in the pest control industry, and I studied animals and pests because that was my job. One thing interesting about the spider, and I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to leave that alone. The black widow is called the black widow spider for a reason. Now, whenever she is ready to mate, the male spider, now, mind you, she's 10 times as big as he is. He's very small compared to her, the male black widow. And he's not even black. He's brown, actually. But when she's ready to mate, she gives off a pheromone or a scent or a smell that he cannot resist. Now, he knows and understands, it is his nature, he knows and understands that she's going to kill him after they get finished. She's going to kill him and she's going to eat him. He knows this. He's aware of this. But when she gives off that smell, he can't control himself. He cannot resist it. He has to mate with her. That's just his nature. He can't resist that smell. So my point is the woman has a certain control over the man anyway. So wherever she goes, he's going to follow. If she understands her value and really understands it and she wants to be righteous, don't you think that man is going to follow? The same thing. So if the woman understands her value, then, you know, the man will follow suit. Because we're just like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us, that where there are no good women, there are no good men. Now, if you got women that are righteous, then you're going to have men that are righteous. So that's my answer to that question.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Andre. Thank
okay.
You so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, listen. Oh, I started to say something. I'm going to be quiet. I made a call. I'm going to be quiet tonight.
Go ahead, sister.
No. Y'all don't want to hear from me. No, I was only going to say, you know, I didn't want to get into a long, drawn-out thing about it. But, you know, it's one thing to refer to the scriptures and understand how things are supposed to be. But we have to really look at how things really are. And so even though it is our practice that we do not have children outside of marriage, we do not have physical relationships outside of marriage, you know, we have a large Christian audience, Hebrewites, or whatever they call themselves. And I just want them to be clear that there's an understanding that they have to also obtain for their children, because even though, let's say, you are having children out of wedlock, well, the father in particularly has to take special attention or pay special attention to the message that he is giving his daughter by not being wed to her mother. And so I'm speaking to my sisters that it's not just about the decisions that you're making for you at that particular time, but when you choose to have a child with a man that does not find you worthy of marriage, you have already given your daughter a negative idea about her own value. Because it makes it seem that it is acceptable for her to go out into the world and so-called start a family when the essence of family in her world was never complete. And so we see the perpetual cycle, you know, it's just going on and on and on. We have all these single mothers, and I think the last time I checked the stats, it was 75 last year. And 77% of black households are headed by single black women today. And so it's an ongoing cycle. So women, yes, they need to know their value. Absolutely, no question about it. However, men, you have a responsibility to restore the knowledge of that value to that woman. So when you see a woman acting other than herself, instead of feeding into her and calling her a whore after the fact, it is your job as men to restore her to her natural nature, to back to her nature, back to the woman of Allah, so that she can be worthy of Allah's grace, and so can you. Because that is part of the protection, is providing the knowledge and the atmosphere that will allow her to grow and evolve into the woman of God. And that's all I wanted to say. I wasn't going to talk tonight, so I didn't want to say anything. But thank you for yielding, Sister Yatira. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Queen. I love when you speak. I don't know why you always like to try to play that. Oh, I wasn't going to talk tonight. I don't understand. I need y'all to cut that out because I'm going to need y'all to always tune in and say something, please.
As I had said before, Sister Yatira, the woman is the balance. You know, she's the balance of all, you know, all the brothers up here. We got our opinion, but she has, you know, when she gives her opinion, that balances everything out.
Yes, sir.
That's right, brother. That's right.
Okay, listen, we have some questions in the chat room. They have been waiting an awfully long time. Be very patient. So I want to give everybody on the panel an opportunity to respond to the questions if they feel necessary. So I'm going to go start with Carrie because she asked me first in my Google chat. Why is it that we all have to do all the work? I guess you're saying, why is it that we have to do all the work? And then Islam says, submit to a man. I am confused. Okay. Who wants to take Sister Carrie on? Do I need to repeat the question?
Please.
No.
She wants to know. Well, let me just repeat it for the sake of those who may not have understood. She wants to know that if the women have to do all the work, then why in Islam it is taught that the woman has to submit to the man? That's her question, comment.
I'll yield this one to the other brother.
Okay.
Well,
okay, go ahead.
If we could, I'll try to give her a good answer, if that's okay. I'm gonna go. I understand we are Muslims, but we also believe in all of the prophets in the scriptures that they brought, all of their books. We believe in the Torah. We believe in the Gospels, and we believe definitely in the final book that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But I'm going to come to what it says in Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, which is the body, and he is the Savior of the body. So, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." But it also says in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Church not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his bodies, of his flesh and his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." So when you fall up under the worship of the one true God, the sovereign of the universe, the creator of all things, and you learn the truth And we are now on the line talking about the value of woman. When you learn the value of woman, you'll learn how to treat that woman. You'll learn that you deserve to be the head of the household. Now, we have many men that take on this cliche that they automatically deserve to be the head of the household. They're not doing for themselves. They're not protecting for the family. They're not nurturing for the family. They're not doing anything for the family, yet they want their wives to be submissive to them. And this is not the correct order that God has given the marriage process. So it is a convenient way for men to always have control over their wives. And what was so funny to me, not funny, but it's really crucial, is that during this last event of this frigid weather, this horrible, what they call it, the vortex, but we know it as something different, during this time, the crime went down tremendously. But guess what was the number one calls coming in to 911? Domestic violence. Because the couples had to live and be with each other 24 hours a day because they couldn't go in the streets. They couldn't travel, so they had to be up under each other, and they couldn't handle it. And that's because they didn't have, or they don't have, God as the foundation in their relationship. Because if God is the foundation in your relationship, it's almost like the saying, I want for my brother what I want for myself. Well, you got to want for your wife what you want for yourself. And that's for her to be a freely thinking worshiper of God, because she has the same destiny that the man has in the relationship. And that should be to become one with God. And if we respect each other's destiny, then the union that God has ordained and the hierarchy, the level that he has given us to for the wives to submit to the husband. Because the man is the head, Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of wife, woman, and woman is the head of child. See, as long as you got that structure, the family can run in an organized way, and the level of divorce rate will decrease because both of you now are up under the same belief, both of you are up under the same righteous coordination, and that can only help the situation. There's nothing negative about being worshippers of God and submitting yourselves unto your husband, because believe it or not, women, once the man sees that you're submissive, he won't treat you as a submissive person, because believe it or not, it becomes harmony. That's the end result. A harmonious relationship is what we're trying to establish throughout the whole entire marriage, so we don't have to commit adultery by divorcing our wife and going to another woman and vice versa. Assalamu alaikum.
I'd like to weigh in on that, if that's fine. If nobody else wanted to go, I'll weigh in on it.
I'll weigh in after you, bro.
Okay. I can yield to you, too, brother, if you want me to now, but if you want me to go ahead, I'll go ahead.
You go ahead. After you weigh in, I'll weigh in. It's not a, this ain't a popularity thing. We share wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Yes, sir.
Come on, brother.
Yes, sir. I agree with you 100%. Thank you for your answer there, dear brother Reggie. That is definitely profound in what you said, and I would just add something. I think will be beneficial. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that what I'm fixing to say is the truth, but I'm only giving an opinion and an interpretation of scriptures that I feel are appropriate for this answer. In the Holy Quran, in the fourth chapter, which is titled Women, or Nisa, Al-Nisa, I think it's the 36th verse, it speaks about the man being the protector and maintainer of women. Now, I understand the sister saying that she's doing all the work, and then she also has to submit to the husband. And why is that? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that when a man is doing his job, it is the woman's nature to submit to him. It's natural for her to do that. Now, when he's protecting and maintaining her, that has a physical responsibility, but it also has a spiritual and emotional and spiritual responsibility as well. These responsibilities that he also has to weigh in, protect and maintain her emotions, protect and maintain her spirituality, because these things are what produce the tone of the family. Even though this world says that the man is the head of the household, we believe that the man is the head of the family, the woman is the head of the household. Now, understand what I'm saying, and I'm not disrespecting anyone's opinion. The man is the head of the family because he protects and maintains the emotional stability and the financial stability of the family. He's the one that he protects and maintains not only the emotional stability of the man, the woman, but also of that of the children as well. When the child is when the man is producing or keeping his duty, then not only does the woman respect him, but she teaches the children to respect him. This is why, in my opinion, in the Bible it says, "Blessed is the man who finds a wife." Blessed is the man who finds a wife. It's not the woman who finds the man. It's the man that finds her. And blessed is him when he finds a wife because she's more precious than rubies. Now, I want us to understand once again that she's more precious than rubies if she's treated right, if she's respected and protected and maintained on those stabilizations. The emotional stabilization, the spiritual stabilization, and also the physical stabilization. And when all of those are in check, then the woman does not have to work. We don't think that it's good or that a woman shouldn't work, but we believe that she should stay home, and the man or the father or the male is the one who's responsible for the finances, and also he's required to give her a dowry. These things are also stated in the Holy Quran, where he's supposed to give her a dowry when she's staying home to make sure that she has financial stability herself, that she does not have to depend on anyone else but him. So whenever he keeps his duty, now this is just my opinion again, then it is her nature to submit to him, not because somebody tells her to, but that is because when he's keeping his duty, then, of course, then she's going to respect him. And just like the Holy Quran says that she keeps secret what is important to him. She keeps those things hidden, what is important to him. So with that being said, that would be my answer to that question. You know, whenever the man is undertaking his responsibility like he is supposed to, then she doesn't have to work, nor does she will naturally respect and submit to him as the man that he's supposed to be. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, thank you. And Brother Kareem?
Yes, ma'am. Well, bottom line is this. Both of my brothers answered excellently. However, I'm going to defer back to a statement you made when you said what you said. You know, I mean, and yes, we need the scripture involved. However, let's look at the reality. Let's look at how we're living and understand that, number one, there is no way that you should be doing all the work. If you're doing all the work, you don't have a man. That's the bottom line, because the work is to be shared. We all have our duties, but the work is to be shared. But I will say what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. You cannot protect that which you cannot control. Now, the word submit and the word control, the way this world deals with it and has people under it, when they say submit in this world, they're talking about oppression. When they say control in this world, they don't mean to protect you, to keep you from harm. They mean that you are a slave, and that's not what we're talking about in the Nation of Islam. When we talk about submission, again, the submission of the woman to the man is going to be directly proportional to, number one, his submission to God and his acceptance of and performance of his duty to her.
Right.
That's what's good. That's the submission. And right. Then under that, there is, yes, there's a certain amount of control. The control comes in with, as opposed to, yes, okay, I understand you used to making your own decisions and going out and doing this and doing that. Okay. However, but when we're in this marriage, and that's what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about boyfriend, girlfriend. When we're in this marriage, which is a direct reflection, or should I say a direct representation, the marriage of the man and the woman is a direct representation of the unification of the human being with God himself. That is what it is designed to be. So in that, someone has to be in control. Now, my brother mentioned in the Bible where it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. I know I've read, and I can't remember exactly where I read it, but I'm going to find it this evening because I need to go back over that. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, but there's a part in there where it also says, and husbands, submit yourselves to your wives. I mean, it goes, again, there's the balance there. So like I said, and I'm going to conclude with this, like I said, if you're doing all the work, you don't have a man. That's the bottom line, because you shouldn't be doing all the work. As-salamu alaykum.
That's right.
Well, alaykum salam, brother.
Thank
I do want to add a little bit to that, if I can have a moment, brothers and sisters. Also, the reason I feel, and also this is in my humble opinion, that the woman should submit to her husband is because scientifically two objects cannot occupy the same space. Two objects that are attempting to occupy the same space will automatically come into conflict, which is why the divorce rate in this country is so high, because they're trying to set it up where it's this 50-50, and it is 50-50 in our roles. We have different roles. We are made differently. The man has different strengths than the woman has. So just because you submit to your man does not mean that you are not 50% of the equation. Your job, your role is just as important and just as powerful as his. So Brother Kareem just said, if you're doing all of the work in the first place, this is an inversion of nature. You are going against what is natural. It's natural for us to... We are physically stronger. So, and I believe scriptures will back me up on this, we are made to work, to produce, to get out and be the hunter-gatherer, to supply the woman with what she needs to rear the children, which, in my opinion, is the role. Procreation is what it's about, and procreation of righteousness is really what it's about. So anytime you have two people trying to both be the boss, you're going to run into conflict. I believe the woman's opinion and the woman's thoughts should always be heard and fairly considered. If you're not being fairly considered, then there's something wrong from the get-go. I believe personally that this is the failing of Arab Islam, is the suppression of their woman and the not allowing,
that's right,
allowing
teach
them to learn. I'm sorry, I'm echoing because I'm on speaker. My queen is here, and she's listening, and she wants to listen along with the show, so I have to put it on speaker, so excuse me. But that is the failing of the Arab world of Islam, is the suppression of their women, because without her, you cannot advance socially, economically, in any type of way, which is one of the first roles of mankind, is to advance, is to evolve, is to learn, is to get better. So anytime you're talking about submission, okay, we only have one president of the United States, okay, and then there's the vice president. Now, the vice president has a lot of responsibility, and he has a lot of opinions about how things should go and how things should be run and how things should be put together. But ultimately, the president has the power to veto anything. And as we elected him, as you elected your man as your man, you went out and chose him to be your man. So if you're going to choose him to be your man, then you must trust him to make those decisions. If you don't trust him to make those decisions, then you made the wrong choice. So with submission is ultimate trust, okay? So make sure you find a man first who makes decisions and makes moves in his life that you admire and that you trust his mind and his mentality enough to let him make decisions for you, to let him finalize any decision in that house. Because if you don't trust him, it's automatically not going to work. And you can't be the boss and him be the boss too. It doesn't work out, and this is being proven all around us every day. Assalamu alaikum.
And Brother Avery, are you still with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you want to make a comment to the sister's question?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to assume that that question is a question outside our community, which I'm going to address it from that standpoint, because I know, like my brother had said, we have to understand our mentality from this society that has produced that when words are being spoken, we incline to them emotionally first before we carefully think on the word. And like with this, the example with submission, automatically when you say submission to black people without knowledge of self and without without a new teaching, we automatically assume that's servitude, slavery, or some form of oppression. But let me implement this as a thought. When we're talking, like Brother mentioned, the universal order thing, even in relationships, and Brother mentioned the scripture in Ephesians with the natural order of man and woman, Christ being at the head of man and man at the head of woman, and Brother mentioned a reference to wives, submit yourselves unto your husband, and I read that too, Brother, where it said man, submit yourselves unto your wives. I read that as well, so I can bear witness on with him with that reading. The element and what is missing with relationships and with the natural order of things is the element of love. And love, as Don Lewis Farrakhan emphasizes and teaches us, is relevant to duty. Your brother said, if sister, if you're doing everything, then you don't have a man. That pretty much sums it up. Our duty as men to our wives and to our family is a replica of our love. It's an expression of our love. Duty and love is equivalent when it comes to our responsibilities to one another. And it's also mentioned in the Holy Quran, we demand one another our rights. So it's not that in Islam where it's being given from perspective from the East, from the Arab world, where the man is dominant in controlling, and the woman has no say-so, no freedom. It's not that. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke of a new Islam in message to the black man. And this is what we are hearing tonight over the radio waves, is the new Islam that's being expressed. And I'm thankful to Allah that sister posed that question, because that's a lot of the thinking in the minds of our people, and that's in the minds of people all over the world in reference to Islam, that it's a religion that advocates sexism, and it's a sexist religion, and that's not the case. It's misunderstood because we've been given the idea and concept from the enemy's viewpoint and from the enemy's idea, contrary to what God instituted for his marriage and male and female relationship. If God institutes anything, it's always under the universal order of law. And law is sustained anything of creation. And if God put man at the head, he's the best knower. Not that he says that the man is the best knower, but God is the best knower. So he put the man as the head for a reason. One, as a protector, and as a Quran meant, as a maintainer. So Satan has been a wise, not say a wise, but he has been so skillful at doing role reversals with relationships, and even twisting it in religion, where people now can't even see clearly through religion how things should be and how thus said the Lord should be. Love is the universal factor in reference to harmony. And if once a man is loving Christ and loving God as he should, then automatically, as Brother mentioned, your nature is going to be compelled to submit unto the man, and vice versa. The man loves God, he naturally loves his woman, so he's compelled to submit to her as well. So it's not an imbalance when you're talking about real love. And we're saying real love because we got that kind of twisted in this world. You know, I love him, I love her so much, I'm going to even come out the natural order of things to express my love. Well, that's not love, that's insanity. You know, and like Don Blue's Farrakhan teaches us, love is not this emotional feeling thing. It's not that. Love is the source or force of creation. And it's what constitute everything that Allah has put in motion, everything he has instituted to keep what he has in order, a continuation with harmony. And if you don't have harmony, that's an indication that that's a love that maybe need to be questioned or is in balance. So with the question in reference to the order of things and the submission, I like to view it in the sense of the sun. Nobody really is displaced with the sun. We are compelled to submit to the sun because the sun is in the natural order of its creator. It's in the order of natural order of things. So there's no argument. There's no displacement. There's no disharmony. Everything revolves around the energy of the sun. And so it is with the man. When he finds his place in the sun, or he finds his place with his creator, then everything in his environment will follow suit, will just automatically, by nature, submit. It won't be a question, and vice versa with the woman. If she's in her natural order, and she's in harmony with creation, and she's in love with Allah, then everything else within her environment will submit. Not by force, but it will be compelled to submit out of the element of love. So it's nothing by force, and it shouldn't be nothing out of balance, and it shouldn't be nothing that, you know, that is what we see today. You know, with role reversal in relationships where She's the head of the house, and she's out working two jobs, taking care of the children while home playing PlayStation. You know, we know that looks backwards and that's twisted. So like Brother said earlier, if the sister's doing everything, then there's a man that's absent. That's a man that is dead. She's technically a widow. And vice versa. You got a man out there tilling the field as he should, but he got to come home and put the children in order and cook the food, clean the household. And evidently, he's yet looking for a wife. He's a single man. He has no help meet. In helping him meet the obligations and his potential as a God, he has not that because he's doing everything. So you have those cases too. And so with that, I hope that elaborates a little bit more on what's being said. But the element of love puts everything in its natural order. And you can't find ourselves out of the universal order of things and expect that we to benefit what Allah has put in the universe for us to benefit from.
Yes, sir. Ooh. Teach Brother Avery. Okay, listen, we always running out of time, but that's fine. You know, I don't care. But we're going to take a call from St. Louis. So, area code 314, you have a comment?
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum, sir.
This is from Phoenix calling from St. Louis. I just wanted to comment on the question that was asked, should men or women understand the value of women? Well, man needs to understand the value of women. And I humbly say, and I can't verbalize this more, that's the reason that we as men are in the condition that we're in. Because of our attitude toward the woman. And one of the sisters was saying that, you know, this stuff about being in submission to a man. Yes, in the book of Ephesians said the woman is supposed to be submissive to her husband, but only if that man is in submissive to Christ. Well, what does that mean? That means being in submissive to Christ as his head. That means that a man's heart who has stayed on God and who desires of implementing God's will in our lives, then and only then we can become fit heads for our wives, children, and our families. But God, since God made man in his own image and after his own likeness and really wanted men to have power and dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and every creeping thing that crawls upon it, but we as men, we're falling short. So it is imperative that the man understands who the woman is. She's not man's woman. She's the woman of God. She was God's first creation. And that's why we as men are in the condition that we're in. And as I meet sisters out here on the street, when soldier in the final call, or I just meet them, just passing, I tell them never settle for less. But men, just because you got a man in the house, that don't make you no man. I mean, but if you look at the society today, the woman is working. The woman's got the job. The man is sitting at home playing video games. Some of our women have become accustomed to that. They rather see the man sitting at home doing nothing. That's not being Christ as his head. God gave man to have power and dominion over everything. But when a man is not exercising power, then no, woman, don't submit to no damn fools. Excuse my language. But we have to get out of the processing mentality. We have to become creators. As men, we have to become creators as men. And I just wanted to make that statement that look at the black man today. We have fallen short when it comes to our women. We have fallen short when it comes to our women. And until we make a man today, then the whole, we've lost it. We've got to make a man. after the image and likeness of God. We've got to make a new man. So to the sister, you know, who, yes, you be in submissive to your husband, only if he's in submissive to Christ.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Brother G. Okay, listen, we're going to move quickly, but I promised these people I would ask their questions in my Google chat. So we're going to answer as quickly as possible. And what I'm going to do, Sister Yatira, if you don't mind, for the sake of time, I'm just going to select somebody to answer the question. And then if someone wants to add on to that answer, then fine. So I'm going to take the question from Leo44. Now, he has a comment, and he wants your opinion. He says, look at Eve, example of being hard-headed. The hardest work is getting a woman to obey. So I'm going to come to... So I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm going to go to my little brother, Eric, because I know he got something to say. Brother
yeah,
Eric.
I think I can speak on that. As-salamu alaykum,
yes,
brother. What was his name? Excuse me?
Leo 44 is his ID
Leo
name.
Leo 44. Yes, it is difficult. Women can be very stubborn and hard-headed. But like Brother Avery, I believe it was, said a moment ago, once you take up your position as a man correctly and God is your head, you are submitting to God, she will become less hard-headed. When you're not producing... when you're not being an example of righteousness, when you're not making decisions that are conducive to her safety and her security, then she's not going to trust what it is that you're saying. She's not going to trust your decisions. She's not going to trust. Okay, first of all, we have to be able to separate Arab culture from Islam. I understand the media bombardment and assault on Islam and what's portrayed about Islam. You know, every terrorist is an Islamic fundamentalist that drilled into your head. So people automatically think that Islam means oppression of women. They equate those things quite often. It's what's portrayed. It's what they see. People say they're not affected by TV, but this isn't reality, okay? There are some strong-minded people who are affected by media and television and what they see, but the people who are against us work in percentages. They don't care about the few who slip through the cracks. If 70% of those who they are targeting are adhering to what information is being given by their media, then they've won. So this is an Arab culture. This is true Islam, okay? This is not about the suppression of woman. So you can't force her. If she's being hard-headed, you need to reexamine your role as a man and what it is you are doing that is causing her rebellion. Now, if you reanalyze your situation and you come up with nothing that you aren't doing, if you're providing, if you're producing, if you're a God-headed man and you are teaching her and you are uplifting her physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and she's still being hard-headed, then you need to reevaluate your choice of a woman. Don't force
her.
Let her go find somebody else that she can be hard-headed with. Okay?
That's right.
Because that's what she wants. She wants to be the head because that's what she is used to, okay? The Willie Lynch syndrome is alive and well, regardless of whether or not people believe it. We have been inverted outside of ourselves. So our women are trained and accustomed and enjoy power and being in control. That's one of the ways that they have emasculated the black man, okay? So we need a little bit of reevaluation, and we need to handle these things and deal with these things in a logical fashion, okay? Yes, I understand emotions are involved. Your heart gets tugged. You know, you love her, this, that, and the other, okay? But if she is not submitting to a righteous, upright, producing, strong man, then you have made the wrong choice, and you need to reevaluate what it is you're doing and who it is you are with. You can't force her to do anything. You shouldn't have to.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you, Brother Eric. Thank you. Okay, and we're going to go through. And, oh, I'm sorry, I wanted to, did anyone else want to respond to Leo's comment? Going once, going twice, nobody? Okay. There's a comment, I think his name is Dark Man. If this is the case, this is what most women say. Oh, he said, if this is the case, this is why most women say they don't need a man. And he's referring to the fact that 75% of the work is with the woman. So I'm just going to say, Dark Man, I think we already covered that. So inshallah, you understood the answers when they expounded on what 75% of the work actually meant. And, you know, it's really twofold, because it's 75% of the work with the woman, and then it's 75% of the work with the woman again, because there's a lot of work that, a lot of responsibilities that the woman has, and there's a lot of duty that the man has to have in order to put the woman in a condition that is conducive for her to be a woman. So it's 75% for both of them if we only knew and understood that in order for one to function, we both have to be in a particular place, playing a particular role to accomplish a particular mission. So I hope you got it, and if not, hit me in my inbox, and I'll hit you back tonight. Okay, and Val have a question.
Can I say something about that real quick? Because I think what's going on
30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry. My apologies. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, what I think what is happening is there is a fundamental misunderstanding of what it is we're talking about. I think what they're saying is that the woman is supposed to do 75% of the work. I don't think they truly understand the topic of what they're saying. That's why the questions are being posed about them doing all the work, 75% of the work. I think that brother, when he said that that's why women say they don't need a man, is because they can do 75% of the work. I think there's a misunderstanding of what this topic actually is. What it is 75% of the work that has to be done to uplift our people has to be done upon the woman. Not the woman has to do 75% of the work. And I wanted to explain that so that they can reestablish themselves and reorient their mind frames as to what it is we're speaking of.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you, Brother Eric. And are we going to take this comment from Val, and I want to hear from you, Brother Avery. Val says that men don't put enough effort into understanding us. What can we do to make men pay more attention to our minds instead of our bodies?
Praise be to Allah. I'm going to be quick, sister. With the question that Brother just mentioned about the 75%, just short, look up the word with. That is the word being omitted in that topic. 75% of the work is with the woman. And then when they define the word with, then they become more inclusive to what that topic means and entails. They always omit the word with. With that question, repeat it, please.
She says men don't put enough effort into understanding us. What can we do to make men pay more attention to our minds instead of our bodies?
We say it all the time. I don't want to make it like a law of physics. Mind over matter. And what I mean by that is that whatever you put your emphasis on, the man is compelled to follow. Brother made that example earlier where he said that if there's no women in the club, won't be no men there. So only reason why we are putting emphasis on the anatomy of the woman is because she put the emphasis there. If you don't go out and buy the fitted skirt or the short shorts, then we are not compelled to look at nothing but what you show us. But if you put your mind on a higher intellectual thought, if you put your mind in the mind of God, then we are compelled to go there to even communicate with you. That is a simple thing in reference to conversation. If your conversation is in a conversation on a godly plane, a godly consciousness, how can he communicate with you unless he's up there on that same level? So to get the man there to your mind, then begin with dress right, conversation, etiquette. So like Brother said, we compelled to follow you. That's the power you have. So if you can have the power to put us at your booty, and you can have the power to put us at cleavage and everything else, then you have the same power to put us at your mind.
Mhm. Mhm.
Feed from the word of God, and in feeding from the word of God, it compels the man to meet you there.
Hmm. All right. Teach Brother Avery. Okay, well, Cecilia Tira.
Yes, ma'am.
I know. All right, Queen. I have to give you back your show now to close us out. We over time, but that's okay. Anything you want to say as last-minute remarks before I give the lineup for next week?
Yes, ma'am. Again, I just want to thank the panelists for all being on the show tonight. Great. Your remarks are powerful, and I pray that we are all granted the light of understanding, and we continue to search and do our own research on our understanding of what our topic was tonight. And I like to close with saying let's make sure that we're donating to the Economic Blueprint at www.economicblueprint.org. We want our own. We want our own land. We want to have our own jobs, our own factories. We want to, you know, we're bringing in a new world. We need the freedom. We need the land. So donate to economicblueprint.org. Thank you all again. Love you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen. Okay.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm not going to give the lineup right now because I know that we're out of time. I've kept all of you so very long, but I want to thank you all for joining us because we were on the same time with the minister tonight, which was very unintentional. And so for all of you who decided to hang out with us, I want to encourage you to go to NOI.org and go to the archives and listen to the time and what must be done, the minister's message tonight. I thank Allah for all of you who joined us. I'm so humble, but please do not miss that message. So if you got to drink your little tea, drink your little coffee, stay up another hour to see the message from the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, please do. I want to thank our guests again, Brother Avery Muhammad. Thank you so much. You have blessed us with your wisdom, brother, and we pray that you join us again sometime in the near future. Brother Reginald, love you much. Thank you for all your help and support.
Oh, praise
and Brother Kareem, you know you my man, 100 grand. So thank you, beloved, for showing up, straight out of the job, coming in to work. And Suda Minister Andre, oh, my God, thank you so much. You are always a joy and a comfort to have on with your wisdom. And my little brother, Eric, I
praise
love you much.
Yes,
tell us real quick about what you're writing and, you know, what how the progress is going with that beautiful story. Even though I don't do fantasy, I really, really love it. So, of course, you know I do if I'm supporting it. So go ahead and write quick and tell us about your writing and what we can expect in the future.
Well, all praise is due to Allah, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on this panel and share my thoughts with everybody, all of the listening audience, and the brothers and sisters that are on the show. My book is called Elemental. I am an aspiring fantasy writer. My purpose is to create literacy and or to promote literacy in the black community and the black youth. Children love fantasy novels and fantasy movies and things of that nature. But I believe that our black youth do not have characters that they can relate to. All of the characters on TV that have powers and are the greatest and wisest all seem to be Caucasian. I could be confused about this, but I don't believe I am. So I am creating an African-based fantasy novel so that we can have heroes. All the heroes will be black. There will be no white characters in the book. And so that is a part of my doing for self. So I would appreciate any support. You can look me up at e.j.sullivan on my fan page and show some support. I have 5 chapters up right now. I have 23 chapters completed, and I will be posting more chapters in about 2 weeks or so. So that's the spiel.
Okay. All praises due to Allah. And, of course, you know I'm going to support you in all of your endeavors, and we wish you much, much success. So I want to thank you all again. Thank the listening audience. Thank my distinguished panel, and especially my co-host, my little sister, Yatira X. McDaniel from Tampa. May Allah bless us all with the light of understanding as we leave you as we came before you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum. Wa alaikum salam.